WTBQ.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 and kind of recap as they do every week. The show is about Orange County entrepreneurs specifically, and the reason we kind of got into this is through all the work we've done and over the last 40 years, my father started the firm Miles Wealth Management. We've run into many, many entrepreneurs and figured it might be a great idea. Actually, we knew it was a great idea to kind of bring light to what they do, how they do it, and why they get up every morning to do it, and live the American dream, and sometimes the American nightmare, as you're going through this. And you know, my special guest this morning is Steve Pennings from Pennings Orchard, actually Pennings Farm Market. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How you doing there, Jim?
I'm good. Thanks for joining me. Steve has been a long standing family friend of our family for many, many years, but knowing the Pennings and anybody knows the Pennings family, I think a lot of people can say that. They've been friends of this community and have done quite a bit, to say the very least, for Warwick specifically, but throughout Orange County, actually. And Steve, you know, we kind of got into doing this show because of, like I said before, entrepreneurs, there's so many of them in the area. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the farmer is the original entrepreneur.
No doubt about it. Yeah, I got to agree with that, no doubt. They're very very independent thinkers, and there's not as much to lean on organizational-wise when you're a farmer. You know, you got to just kind of go your own road, hoe your own road, and it takes a lot of drive and desire, you know, to get to the finish line on a yearly basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and on a yearly basis.
Yeah, so by minute too, right?
Because there's no guarantees when you're farming.
No.
You know, whether it's a dairy farmer, an onion farmer, a vegetable farmer, a fruit farmer, no guarantees.
Period, you know? End of story. I mean, you get up every morning, kind of roll the dice and kind of see where it brings you for the day.
Yeah, no doubt about it, you know.
But you've been doing it for quite a while. And, you know, I mean, the family's been here for, I can't even, how many
yeah,
years?
Yeah, so my dad is an immigrant from Holland, came into America in the 40s, I believe. Tried to get home to Holland, and I think it was when Hitler was bombing Rotterdam that the boat was turned around, and he came back to America and stayed forever. Stayed here, met
Is that
my
right?
Mother. Yep, stayed here, met my mother, and started dairy farming in Goshen first, then moved into Warwick and bounced around on a few small farms in Warwick, and then landed on the farm that became Panocto Farm, which was our real staple. We were when he set up shop, my parents set up shop there, that's when they developed the whole one of the larger Holstein operations, dairy farms in Orange County, and we milked cows for many years there. That's the farm that's right on the corner near the school's.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I remember that growing up in the Catholic school.
Yeah. That was called Panocto Farm. Octo stood for eight, in which when they named the farm, there were eight kids. I became the ninth child, and then I had sister. I have a younger sister, Adrian, who is the tenth child. So they never changed the name of the farm, but they did end up having two more kids somehow. So.
Jeez, I thought the Irish are bad, huh?
I'll tell you, God bless them.
Well, it was a good way of cheap labor, right?
Yeah.
Got it done.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And, the entrepreneurial skills the entrepreneurial spirit was definitely dropped off into each and every one of us as a family, you know what I mean? Because I think...
you go right down the list.
Right down the list, and pretty much everybody's tried or has done some things or started businesses and run businesses. On their own, independently of just working in the real world, which sometimes it looks a lot better than trying to be an entrepreneur.
No kidding.
And you know that.
Yeah, I mean, there's many days, I'm sure, as you've gone and experienced it, and anybody that's is an entrepreneur, go, man, wouldn't it be so nice to just be able to punch in and punch out and go home and not worry about it? But that's not the case when you run your own business, as we all know. And never mind when you're some of the things. Actually, as a farmer, you're dealing with not only the the labor concerns, the business concerns, but you're dealing with Mother Nature on top of it.
Yeah. There's quite the realm and the gamut of issues to deal with on a daily basis. You know,
right.
So.
And how and how you deal with them is always got to be a challenge, to say the least.
Yeah, yeah.
So how many?
That's for another time.
Yeah, it is for another time. Maybe maybe at your at the pub for a couple. We'll go through that. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot in this, Steve, is the amazing challenges that every entrepreneur kind of goes through as they grow their business or develop their business, grow their business, and then trying to figure out, you know, where's the next step come. And, you know, you mentioned before, you know, the family started out in the dairy farm side of it, and then it kind of expanded into other parts of the farming industry. Was that out of necessity, or is it just kind of, there was an opportunities?
A little bit of both. My oldest brother, Jack, who was partnered with my dad, he was the oldest of the boys, and he partnered with my dad on a dairy farm. He moved into the orchard business in the early 80s. The dairy industry was very depressed, and there wasn't a lot of money being made in it. And after, you know, years of struggling to stay in business, he saw an opportunity with an orchard here on this side of town.
Okay.
Called the Park Farm, and he purchased that after the sale of his cattle and things like that. And my father sold the dairy farm to another dairy farmer in the early 80s. And there was apprehension to that, and it hurt to let that go, you know what I mean? But change is part of life, you know
what
I mean?
It is.
And so we went into a completely different type of agriculture where you're marketing your product yourself. With the apples, we opened up a pick-your-own operation. There was a very successful operation, two actually, in Warwick at that time in the early 80s. It was really basically... Masker's Orchard was the real
they paved the way,
and they paved the way. And then I think Applewood and Ox kind of jumped on the bandwagon. And then when we bought this orchard in 1980, my brother Jack bought the orchard. We right away went into the pick-your-own operation because we figured that was the best way to move the crop, you know, if you're not... if you don't have connections in the wholesale markets or at Hunts Point, things like that, which we didn't. We knew the only way we were going to move that crop was to develop a pick-your-own business, and that's what we did. And hence, in the last 5 years, we've developed the Warwick Apple Trail, which is an organization of all the orchards together. So we kind of
have... Similar to the wine trail that's going on?
Yep, okay. And we bound together because there's a lot of competition from the Hudson Valley now in pick-your-own. Like, pick-your-own has expanded up into the New Paltz and Ulster County area, which isn't all that much farther of a drive. So, you know, in general, like the Warwick Apple Trail is about getting people to come to Warwick.
Right.
And then they can pick which orchard they might want to come to, you know. And we've become friends. We've become better friends as orchard,
as business owners.
As business owners because of it. Because we get together once or twice a year to just reflect on the season and talk about the upcoming season. And we band together and put a little money into the organization, so we are a sponsor of the Apple Fest now.
Right.
So
okay. Well, you on that point, I mean, you know, my involvement in a lot of businesses and kind of working with business owners, I mean, you know, everybody thinks that they're always in competition with each other. And I think one of the unique things that I've found, I mean, you're obviously just touched on it there, is that, you know, you can gain so much more by cooperative business thinking and trading ideas and going through. You can sometimes get rid of some of those hurdles you otherwise would have had to go through if you can actually bounce off ideas from other business owners.
Sure, yeah. And I found that's exactly true. And I mean, just the guys that, you know, the orchard owners have really really taken to the fact that we have this organization now, you know what I mean? And we bounce ideas off each other and, you know, what some of our costs are and, you know, how can we shrink them,
right.
You know, buy, you know, it, whether it's in the future to buy things cooperatively.
And, sure. Well, listen, all the big boxes are doing it, right? So why shouldn't, small, and we talk about small business owners, but you know, your operation may be small in the world of the SBA, but operationally wise, it's no small business whatsoever. At that, we're going to hold that thought for a second, and when we come right back here, we'll get into more about all little challenges of having employees.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Rich Arnott calling the play-by-play every week for the Warwick Wildcats right here on WTBQ.
This is Dan Bolger, color commentator, along with Rich Arnott, broadcasting exclusively for the Warwick Wildcats football 2015 season each week right here on WTBQ. Check WTBQ.com for the weekly schedule. Listen in and cheer on all the players and support their proud sponsors, Leo Cady's Ford, Middletown Medical, Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Blarney Station, Celian Durland, Altiva, and the Computer Guy.
WTBQ. All right, welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And just kind of a reminder, I am with Miles Wealth Management. I always kind of forget to plug that company since we're the ones who wrote the check. As my father listens every week, he goes, you know, once in a while, it'd be nice to mention our name. It'd be a good idea. But we always get so caught up in... working with businesses, you know, and that's kind of why we decided to do this. But, you know, I've been lucky enough, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the family side of this, and we'll get into that in a little bit more, but I've been lucky enough to work with my father for many, many years. Yeah. And, you know, when he always like says, hey, do me a favor, just let us know. We are in Florida, New York. Our website is www.mileswealthmanagement.com. And a neat thing about our firm is that you actually can dial our phone number, 651-3070, and actually get a real person on the other end of the line as opposed to dial one for this and two for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's unique in this day and age. And I think, Steve, one of the neat things I know about your operation is the people you have. And that's no simple task as an entrepreneur, is getting the right core. I'm sure that's been a challenge as you've gone through bringing this company to where it is today.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Labor is always a big issue, and we employed mostly high school kids with a few adults.
Okay.
And with the cafe and the pub, the last 4 or 5 years we've shifted and become more of an adult employee base with kids surrounding the adults. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So we've gone from, you know, a few adults and a lot of kids around to more adults with less kids, which is better for me because I can get the thing running on a daily basis on weekends, that whole place. And then it'll kind of run on its own because
right.
I have great adults. I have great staff. Our biggest challenge is, of course, maintaining that staff from year to year,
sure.
Keeping people happy and content. But, you know, we have a couple, you know, we as well with our employees, we try to make them feel every bit as important and they're part of a team. And, you know, from playing sports in high school and whatever we all did, you really learn a lot about team play and what it takes. It's just not about yourself. It's about building a good team, putting good employees in place, having them think as team leaders, the adults, and they coach the younger kids along. And that's how, you know, we get a lot of compliments on the fact that our employees are so respectful and helpful and always smiling. And,
sure.
And that reflects on us as a business, you know, and people like to see that.
You know, and it's very evident anytime I've been lucky enough now that you actually employed my daughter.
that's not a problem. That's an easy hire. Yeah, right there. Well, she's got the experience already from working under your...
Yeah, she had to go to work pretty early.
I grabbed her very quickly.
But you see that, but I think, you know, one of the things I've noticed in your business is that, you know, you had a lot of kids in the system, but a lot of that was due to the seasonality of your business.
Right.
But that has since changed the way you've grown the business over the last many years now. Yeah. But now, you know, it was one thing I was reading one of your articles on. But you said you had to change and adapt out of necessity.
No doubt. I mean, we had a couple of really good years early in the early 2000s, and then things kind of like. You know, after 9/11, like insurances just started to skyrocket out of the roof, you know, and there were so many expenses that were, and then we had like a second shopping center built down on Route 94, Price Chopper.
Oh, that's right.
And it left us in a situation where we were not going to survive just being a produce market and a garden center. We just were not going to make it. And so, you know, we started the cafe and we built that slowly, and then with that came the pub, because we were looking for value-added products. So we were like, what are we doing? We need somewhere to go with all these apples that either aren't getting picked or they're on the ground. And, you know, we need to do something with them that we can make additional income off of.
Right.
So I started going to value-added seminars and things like that were being put on by Cornell Cooperative. And, you know, it just was making more and more sense that we got into the cider, the hard cider business. I was watching the Warwick Winery with Jason Grisani and Jeremy.
They've done an amazing job.
And they've done a phenomenal job out there. And they were very supportive and have been making our product to this point. And we'll probably continue to for a while yet while we continue to develop what we have going on the farm. But they've been very helpful to us. And when we got a license, it came with a craft beer light. You could sell beer and wine as well. So it was a perfect license for us where we could sell beer, wine, and hard cider. And then that kind of drove the business again. And
right.
All of a sudden now the business started to, more people were interested. And we were kind of, we've become like a place for all ages. You know what I mean? So we still have the things that pulled the families with kids. But now we're pulling young adults. We're pulling older adults that don't have kids anymore. They like to come and listen to music and sit out in the beer garden. So we're pulling all ages. But back to the labor issue, we were talking about labor and the labor. And because of all these, the movement of the business and the direction that it's gone, we've had to bring in a lot more adult help. And so that's satisfying in that, you know, I can trust, not that I don't trust the kids, but you always got to follow behind the kids. You always got to follow behind and make sure they followed through, whether it was sweeping, whether it was mopping, whether it was helping a customer, whether it was whatever. The issue that I'm finding is that this minimum wage thing, there really needs to be two minimum wages in New York State or nationally, because there should be a minimum wage that's $12 to $15 for adults, somebody
Correct.
Who's living on his own, you know, somebody out of high school that opted not to go to college and just entered the work world. You know, there's no doubt those people need to make $12 to $15 an hour.
Right.
But the kids that you're teaching to push a broom and run a cash register.
Right, this is not a career.
And teach basic work ethic so that they can put it on their college resume. That should be $7 yet.
Yeah.
Not $9. We're around $9 and it starts to hurt. And it actually discourages us from hiring high school kids.
So I'm with you.
It's a big issue, and it
it's
really
be
needs
bigger.
To go to Albany, because they want to keep bumping up this minimum wage. And I agree that it needs to go up for adults, but there should be two. There should be two sets of minimum wage.
You know, you're dead on, and we faced this with the ski area when I owned it. And I want to tell you, it was one of the reasons I was lucky enough, and they were asking me to take it back. And I was like, you know what? I'm looking at this coming down the pike for every small business owner out there. You know, they just, as our government always does, and Albany is famous for, is, you know, they don't realize that, we're talking about a 15 to 20% increase in the cost of labor. Times that by 300 people or 60, 70 people on a small business scale.
Yeah.
And all the insurances that go along with it, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a huge hit.
Yeah, unemployment tax and everything else that you got to pay in based on how much, you know, you're paying your employees.
Yeah, shocker that they don't have a clue. It's amazing.
I don't know if they don't have a clue. I just don't know if it's been brought to their attention that, you know, I don't think you need to pay a kid $10 or $11 an hour to work for you. I think you need to pay them $6 or $7 or $8, and we need to teach them work ethic.
Right. And that's why they're there.
That they're not learning, you know, at a young age, you know. They need to learn work ethic. And, you know, they I'm not asking to get paid to teach a kid how to work, but that's, you're being a teacher. You know, right. you're when you hire a high school kid who has never had a job before, you're teaching them to run cash registers. You're teaching them, you know, how to communicate,
public,
how to talk with people. You know, we're so fixated on our phones these days. People aren't into dialogue with each other. So I have to actually teach them how to move their lips and talk to a customer and look them in the eye. You know, these are valuable tools that they're coming to me and not, they don't have.
It's,
you know?
So true. And it does, you know, they just do not get taught in school. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's a shame, but it's a fact. And
yeah, I mean, I don't want to blame it on any one party. I don't want to blame it on teachers, parents, or anything. It's just the way society has gotten. We're not motivating kids early enough. And now with minimum wage continuing to go up, you're almost just asking for a recipe, a disaster,
right?
Where I'm not going to hire a 15-year-old kid because I got to pay him $9 an hour. It's ridiculous. I got to teach him how to push a broom.
A shame because I think to your point, you can almost replace him with one adult because he can handle two people.
And you pay him a dollar or two more.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pay him $11 or $12, right. And then all of a sudden they're fine, you know? And,
well, instead of hammering on the code, but I would tell you, this is one of the great things, though, we love about the small businesses and all the orchards and, you know, all the small businesses around here, including the ski areas, Mount Peter and Mountain Creek and all those. They employ a lot of young people and obviously adults.
Of course.
And thank God for it. I mean, like you said, I go back to my days when I worked at Mount Peter and Don Sampson. I mean, to this day, I thank that man on a regular basis.
Yeah.
He taught me how to do public speaking.
Yeah.
He taught me how to interact with people, how to take criticism, especially from him.
Yeah.
Don, you're listening, you're great at it. But, you know, what a great lessons that, you know, you just didn't get anywhere else. And again, that's not a slight on our parents or our school teachers.
Yeah.
But, you know, working for a living, having that responsibility to show up and make sure you're there, because otherwise you're letting your team down, going back to the team effort, is a critical part of what we do as small employers. Would you agree?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And we're lucky to have it. And, you know, it kind of jumps into the next piece of this thing, but we're gonna save it for when we come back here, and is kind of, you know, the family values of it and why, you know, small businesses are so good to not only our community, but to teach our children and how do we keep these businesses going as a family. So when we get back, this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hey, this is Joe Danz. Connect the dots in these challenging times with my Creativity and Technology for Business and Life show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5. Radio worth listening to.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio. Tune in every Thursday at 11:30 a.m. for the latest in legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
WTBQ Weather.
We are going to continue with the hot weather today, but gradually we'll see some much-needed rain at the end of the week. Sunny and hot today at 90. Mainly clear tonight. Look for low into the low and mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Clouding up with showers and thunderstorms Wednesday night. Down into the 60s and showers. Thunderstorms likely on Thursday. High right around 80. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And, by the way, if anybody's listening who wants to dial in here, we always welcome a caller to call in. And number is 651-1110. If you have any questions for our guests, please feel free. On that note, I got to make a reminder here that...
What about questions for you? I hope especially for you.
Yeah, for me, we'll see. Yeah, I've always actually been lucky enough to always ask our guests the questions. So I actually asked Aaron a couple questions last week, or the week before, which is pretty interesting. Well, I'm going to make a special shout out for Winslow Therapeutic. Just kind of remind people that is coming up on the 25th of September, which is their honoree dinner. Great organization right here in Warwick, New York. Helps out in an amazing array of type of people from every walk of life, disability you can imagine, and they can really use your support, and that dinner is on the 25th, and Steve, I'm lucky enough that we're actually honoring my father this year.
Wow.
Awesome. As the honoree, and because his involvement from the kind of the get-go. But it kind of goes to show you kind of get back to it and how it all ties in. You know, it's neat, and you see it every day, that entrepreneur businesses like yourself, like the car wash, I can go right down a list. You know, the reason we do what we do and give back is because of the support we get.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important, folks, that you remember that, when you're shopping local, which I think has become a huge movement, by the way.
Oh, no doubt about it.
In our community, especially Warwick, I think it's one of the leaders in it. But I think in Orange County in general, there's been a real kind of a groundswell to do business locally.
Yeah.
Has that an impact on you? Do you see a lot of your business locally or in their surrounding areas?
Well, you know, I made mention of it years ago, you know, that the Shop Local campaign was going to be something that was either going to really drive small town America back to the roots and back to people recognizing the importance to spend money locally. And I think it really has. I mean, no matter whether you're in New York or California, I think you see that Shop Local thing has become like an epidemic across the country, and it's for good reason. You know, it'll support and save small towns and small businesses that go.
What creates the culture we get to enjoy today?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's like one hand washing the other. It's, you know, help us stay healthy, and that we can support the community and give back to the community, and you know, ways that we couldn't a couple of years ago.
Right.
Know?
So, well, you see that on a regular basis. I mean, you know, we talked about it in Winslow as well. You know, if those dollars can go into those organizations and those dollars can come back out and stay local, and it goes around the circle and eventually comes right back in.
Yeah, and you can't give to them all as a small business, but you got to pick a few and you support them and you do your best, you know, because... You know, at the tough economy that we've been in for the last 10 years, there's a lot of people that are looking for some forms of donations, and sometimes it gets overwhelming as a small business. And our place has been like it's a target. Like, it's like, come
I can't imagine.
Knock on our door, you know what
right.
I mean? And you have to pick and choose, and you can't do it all for everybody, but you do pick the ones that you feel are you're most comfortable with, and you try to stay true to them. And, you know, whether it's the sports teams or whether it's a particular scholarship or a fund for the needy or for people with disabilities like the Winslow, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think that's some of the advice that the show actually helps out, you know, for entrepreneurs kind of sitting on the fence trying to figure out whether they're going to throw their hat in the ring, and even when they're actually newly jump into the ring. When you're starting off, I think that's great advice. Is, you know, we all want to help as a business owner.
Sure.
You want to help everybody out.
Yeah.
But you have to be selective.
Yeah.
I mean, because you only have so much resources.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we've worked closely with the Ahern Foundation over the years, the Brian Ahern Foundation. Jeff Ahern's an awesome guy that's just done a phenomenal job with that.
Yep.
After he lost his son and. Katie Rudy has the RJR Memorial.
Yep, the car show.
Car show. They do it at our farm every week. We supported her, which is actually works under that same Ahern umbrella. So they give to families around Orange County an amazing amount of money over the years with families that have, you know, children that are either very sick or disabled, you know?
Well, that, you know, again, that goes back to the lucky, not the lucky, we're blessed to be living in the area we live in today, Orange County.
Yeah.
And obviously a little biased to war because this is where we come from.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, the neat thing is, you know, for entrepreneurs that are running a business out there, you know, I always say, listen, what you give is what you get back. Right. And right. It doesn't have to be monetarily either. I think that's a really good point for those who are listening. It doesn't always have to be in the form of a check.
Right. Right.
Donating your time, like Steve, you and I both sit on the Warwick Chamber of Commerce, and have sat on obviously a bunch of other, I call it not-for-profits,
right,
to help them out and get where they need to go. And I think time actually, especially being a small business owner, is probably a little more difficult than writing a check.
It can be. It can be. And it's the importance of it is to recognize that you have to manage your time and you have to make time. You know, somehow you have to make time for these things. And then the time issue is also the family side of it. Like, you got to make time. You know, you have to juggle so many balls, and the most important one of them all is the family side of it. So, you know, you need to make time. You need to make time for the civic activities that you elect to be part of. You have to make time to make sure you're managing your business properly, and then you have to make time for your family. And my wife says I'm pretty bad at that one, so you know, and I understand she's probably right. Jill has put up with a lot of sacrifices over the years where we don't get to do you know, a lot of traveling together, although she has always made me go on a summer vacation and a winter vacation, and that's, thank God she did. Otherwise, I would have been able to lock myself right into the farm and never go anywhere. But on that, I have two children that are both gone through good colleges.
Very good
schools.
And
they both want to come back to the farm.
Yeah, why is that?
They both want to come back to the Warwick community. And it is that community feeling, and it's coming into this valley and seeing how beautiful it still is, as much as it's changed. The landscape's changed dramatically over the last 20 or 30 years.
Sure has.
But, you know, Warwick has done a great job. Mike Sweetin's done a great job. That's why he keeps running unopposed. I mean, they've done a great job with PDR and preserving land and slowing down that development when there was a real push for everything to get put houses on. And so we have a nice balance of agriculture, you know.
It's one of the things that keeps this community great. And not only Warwick, but in the entire county. But I agree with you. Mike Sweetin has done an amazing job, and I've known Mike for many years as well too. You know, sometimes I didn't think we saw him eye to eye on some things, but I got to tell you,
happens to everybody.
Yeah,
and we all go through that. Yeah, no doubt about it.
But I tell you, to not to get totally off topic, but you know, for him, the vision he had to take that property in at the prison property and preserve it for this for this Orange County, or for Warwick, but it also protected Orange County, is just amazing.
Yeah. And that's going to further fuel people to want to live in this area, hopefully, if it gets built out properly. It's hopefully puts more jobs in the community, you know, when it's all said and done, when that project's finished. And
but look how it supports
more people to live here,
right.
You know, I mean,
It supports small business in the all over
in every
right.
aspect,
and that's kind of a neat thing of, and you know, kind of, again, and Mike Sweetin's also an entrepreneur, right, you know, which we'll have to grab him on here one of these days as well. But the you know, it's that vision of the business owner to be able to kind of look in a million different directions and deal with everything that's going on all at once. You mentioned it before, you know, the family, the business, you know, and all the other things that go along with that. But kind of going back to the family part of it, you know, which is kind of a neat thing, and I don't want to kind of gloss over it. You came from a long line of entrepreneurs. Your parents obviously started the farming side of this thing. It was in your DNA.
Yeah.
And now apparently it's in your children's DNA.
Well, it looks like it is anyway, and let's see how they do after a couple of years, and if we have any hardships, you know, then they'll think twice. But my daughter's a school teacher. Going to stay there, but wants to be part of the farm if we can get her back up here. She teaches in Brooklyn right now. Steve just finished college, and he's back on the farm with me, and it is so great to have a right-hand man that I can just, you know, drop stuff off, drop a lot of stuff in his lap now,
right.
And I can do things like this and be a little more community-minded and spend a little time with my wife here and there. So
right.
That's the goal here, and get him up to speed on what's going on, and you know, teach him the lessons that come with entrepreneurial skills and the pitfalls that come with it. And okay, not everything's always going to work out, you know what I mean? And you got to take the good with the bad and all that kind of stuff. And I have a nephew, Jack, and his wife, Monica, run the orchard part of the operation. So there's a lot of family members tied into our operation that all work with us. My brother, my other brothers, Mike and Dick, they're both entrepreneurs in their own way. Yep. One's a truck driver. One owns Penning's Plumbing. And I have sisters that help. My sister, Stephanie, does all the baking at the farm. And, you know, family has been the most important part of what's kept us in business and kept us going, no doubt.
Without question. And it's the strength of the family that kind of picks you up when things aren't so good. It's also one of the neatest things is to celebrate with them when they are good.
That's right.
The important part. I mean, yeah. I know in our family, we're lucky enough to get together just this weekend, just on a whim. Those are the special moments. You bring back before, I think the entrepreneurs are listening, or people on their own business are listening. You'll hear the neat thing that you've come from, though, Steve. You come from being a true self-employed mom and pop shop, where every decision of every minute of the day had to be made by yourselves, and you couldn't leave the business because it literally owned you. You didn't own it.
Yeah.
To the point now, you're a business owner.
Yeah.
Because the business, you set up the processes in which the company runs, and we talk about this a lot when we're working with companies. You know, those things, it takes a while to get there, though, does it not?
I'm 53 years old. I started doing this when I was 21. Now I got my son that's 21 or 22. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 30 years. There's no way I'm retiring anytime soon. Most people, after they've had a 30-year career, are done and can go on to either another career or, you know, if they were fortunate enough to put enough money away, they can actually retire. When you're an entrepreneur, you don't get that, but you do get the satisfaction of seeing what you built and what you grew.
Right.
And I was just saying to my wife, these days, this time of year, are 12 to 15-hour days.
Yeah, easily.
And my legs and feet don't like that anymore. And I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to come home midday after the business is up, running, all the gears are moving in the right direction, everything's fine. I'm going to get the heck out of there and go home and, like, put my feet up for an hour or two. You know, and then come back towards the end of the day and finish, you know, the management. But that's the way it's gotten, you know. It's 12 to 15-hour days this time of year being a farmer in a retail operation.
Those are not uncommon hours owning your own business. But, you know, your business is a little uniquely different because of some of the seasonality involved in it. But I just realized, like, this weekend, you know, when the days from you being open, you know, as a produce stand and closing at 6 or 7 o'clock, they don't exist anymore.
No.
You're open till midnight.
We gave that up, unfortunately. That's a downside, but you know, the upside is we have a very healthy business right now with a lot of people coming into the parking lot, and that was the key, you know, to get the people to come back in our parking lot, because we just didn't have enough numbers, you know, enough volume of people coming through our store. And now it seems to have changed again, and we're just riding that wave, and we'll keep riding it as long as we can and keep trying to make the right decisions to keep it healthy and keep it moving, you know. So all new challenges come with it. Enough help, you know. The building wasn't built ever to do what we're doing with it, but it's...
Not that I remember.
We're making it work, but, you know, so...
It was a great indoor basketball hoop.
So many of your age bracket remember being an indoor winter basketball court, you know, where we played barn ball. Now my son, we built a new building, and now he wants to restart the tradition and have barn ball in the new building. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, you say some
that's
of
those, not why we spent all this money.
Some of those memories are great, and some of those we should not have had. So we're gonna come back for our last segment here, and I want to kind of just finish up on what's next for Penning's Orchard and all the great things that are coming, you know, in the future for you. So this is Jim Mazzetti. This is the American Dream, and we'll be right back.
Hey,
Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is Mary Ulrich with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Orange County, inviting you to join me and your Orange County farmers on Farm Talk every Wednesday at 12 noon, where you will learn everything agriculture on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. Join me for Ask Dr. Phil. We're going to talk about what's important in your life. So listen up and start a change reaction in your life today. You're worth it. Weekdays at 1:30.
WTBQ. Here we go. Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream, here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And as usual, always an interesting show. Lucky enough to have a good friend, Steve Pennings, and a great friend to the community of Warwick, to say the very least. We got left off. We were talking about all of fun things that goes on with owning a business and dealing with employees and bringing in the family members and how great that's been. And we're kind of talking off air here about, you know, the fact that we all wish that everybody could come in. And I say this a lot, Steve, I wish I could just download my father's brain and then I wouldn't have to worry about him not being part of the organization anymore and he could retire.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not easily done when you run a business and built it from scratch to hand off to the next generation.
Right.
Especially when it's your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
But it's a neat to see the next generation come in and embrace it, I have to say, at the very least,
no
right?
No doubt. I mean, I'm sure your dad recognized that when you came in to work with him. And, you know, I'm recognizing that very quickly, having my son come in. And hopefully our daughter participates and is looking to, once she can get back into the area as a school teacher or whatever, maybe. My son's got a lot to learn, but just having him come back, and this is the problem with family farms, is so often the next generation doesn't come back, or when they decide they want to come back after they test the waters out in the real world, or they go right to corporate America for 5 or 10 years, they want to come back, and maybe mom and dad couldn't hold on to it that long.
True.
And so the succession of farming is a critical element that so many farms miss out on. Because the mom and dad were so busy building it. The kids were like, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't ever get a day off. Look at my parents. I never took a day off.
Right.
So they work and they work and they work. And then the kids are gone. They're like, they don't want to be part of it. And we were just dumb. You know, we were lucky our kids played high school sports and things like that. We never really pushed them to say, this is what you have to come do. You have to do these chores every morning. You know, we didn't have a lot of animals on the farm, so there wasn't the need to be up at 5 a.m. and, you know,
a little different than some other farms.
Although you wake up and start thinking about the day around 5 or 6, but
I think we all do, yeah.
So the kids kind of were never pushed. The farm was never pushed on my kids. And then, like, I was very surprised that they wanted to come back to it so quickly, which made me and Jill have to go, okay, we need to start thinking succession here. As much as we're still in the trenches ourselves, and we're going to be, we're young, we're in our 50s, we'll be in it for another 10 or 15 years. We need to be thinking about how the heck are we getting into the next generation with these kids? Is there going to be something here for them?
Right.
And we were fortunate enough to, in the last year or two, to get the farm into preservation, get ownership of it. It was owned by me and my brothers together. It was originally a farm my dad bought in the 60s, And he had the real, he was the real visionary to buy up farmland and things like that, you know. So, you know, we got hold of a farm that's now ours. And within that farmstead, you're allowed to put a building up as they've made it, you know. That's the way the rules are written in the PDR program, which is good because you have to have some buildings. You have to have some structures to work out of for whatever you're going
to do. Right, can't be left
whatever you're
going to
do. So that's where we're at right now. We've put up a new building up behind our existing establishment. It's called Penning Cidery. I don't know if they'll be if it'll be called the Cider Barn or the Cider House or whatever, but it's Penning Cidery LLC, and it's a operation that's going to be owned by my two kids.
You're hitting on that kind of note there, I think, which is incredibly important for all business owners that are out there. I mean, how important is it to actually, as in your opinion, sit back and go, like you talked about your son, you got to be in the trenches each and every day, as you did for many, many years. And but I think it's equally as important as a business owner. You got to take a step back and go, I have to put a plan in place. And how important is that? Having the right team members, and I mean team members, picking your accountants, your attorneys, and all that.
Yeah,
I mean, was that pretty important putting together?
It all plays into it. We used Joe Donahue as our lawyer, but there's a whole bunch of good lawyers and
legal advisors
in the Warwick community and in Orange County in general. You know what I mean? So we have a wealth of that knowledge to help you when you need to go out and lean on it. And it's expensive, but you got to do it. And
it's even more expensive if it's not done right, though.
Because that's right. That's in this day and age of sue happy people, you know, we live in a society where it's never your own fault when you hurt yourself or when you get hurt. And everybody's just looking to sue. It's just ridiculous, you know. So you have to be set up properly from a legal standpoint when you start new businesses, and you have to have the right insurance to make sure you're protected properly in case it does happen where somebody slips and falls or somebody does something really silly and stupid, but yet it's my fault because it was on my property.
Right.
And so there's that whole gamut, you know. You know, and then just the time element again, like we've been talking about time and like managing your time so that you have your employees scheduled and you know what you want to accomplish on a daily basis with your team. And then you make a little time for yourself or your family, you know?
And that's why you do it. I mean, ultimately I know there's sacrifices that you have no choice in the beginning when you're starting your business. And I mean, I've gone through it, you've gone through it. And anybody I think who's run a small business and grown a business or even starting a business, you're going to realize that, you know, time is a very precious thing.
Yeah.
You can't put a dollar sign on that one. But in the beginning, you know, you're going to sacrifice, but ultimately it's going to be, it should be worthwhile. And it will be worthwhile.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at where your company has gone, grown today, you know, it went from, you know, a simple apple orchard to, I think it was like three different businesses or four different businesses on that particular property.
There's quite a bit going on there.
There's a lot going on there. And it's going to continue to grow.
So,
you know, and before we get out of here, we talked about a lot of this, and the neat thing about having your children come back is the fact that the marketing side of this, although you guys have done an amazing job on the marketing side of this, have they been able to help out with that? Or is it you and Jill kind of lead that?
Well, we have a good team, you know, again, it's all about the team, and we've had different people helping us with the marketing over the years. In this past summer, Tori kind of got in the trenches with us and worked on a marketing plan for the fall. And, you know, so much of it's social anymore. You know, it's all about your computer. It's all about your website. It's all about Facebook. It's all about Twitter. It's all about these things that I don't know much about.
Right, right.
Because I elected just not to, and now I'm like, you know, I'm the odd guy out. You know, so.
But it's critical to the operation,
but
isn't it?
Critical to the operation to have that social media aspect like well tuned, because people aren't reading the newspaper quite as much as they used to, or they're reading it online. So it's like where to put those advertising dollars.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a very tricky part of the business, but all at the end of the day, it's about the experience that whether it was one customer or 100 customers came through your business, if they had a good experience, they're going to go home and tell a friend, they're going to put a good review online. They're going to,
so
you know, and so we don't have to spend the kind of dollars we used to in print and radio, because there's so many other aspects to what marketing is all about. And,
yes.
And
yeah, I think you're, to your point, is it's one thing to get the customer to come there.
Yeah.
It's what you do with the customer that when
once
it gets there.
Once you've got them there. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And how do you bring them back?
They have a good experience and that they're going to go tell a friend, or that they're going to come back a second time and get the repeat. And that brings me to the whole tourism industry and what tourism is all about and what it means to Warwick, because we're not a big manufacturing town. We're, you know, nestled in between. We're in a valley, you know. We're not easy to get to, and that's why we've never been a big manufacturing. We can't get big trucks in and out of Warwick. So tourism has been like our... has been our staple for years, even when we didn't know it. But now, you know, the bed and breakfasts are doing well. The villages are doing well. Florida, Warwick are beautiful little downtowns.
Amazing.
And we got Pine Island, you know, and I think collectively we've created this, like, destination. You know, there's great bed and breakfasts in Warwick, and I think that, you know, the fact that everybody has to kind of stay home on Saturdays and Sundays for the next 6 or 8 weeks, hopefully everybody more or less understands that that's part of what makes Warwick what it is. You know, people either want to come live here later on. A lot of people move to Warwick after they see Warwick.
Well, they've moved to Warwick because they had those experiences and, coming up here, you know, picking apples, et cetera.
You know, I know we can all get very aggravated with the traffic on Saturdays and Sundays because of all the orchards and of because of the Apple Fest that's coming up the first week
in
October.
Yep.
But you got to also realize that's what keeps all the businesses healthy and
sure. It's why it's so, you know, Warwick is such a beautiful area to still live in, and it gives us the reason, you know, to take the rides down and see all the nice little shops in Warwick, and the roads are kept so nicely, and Warwick is one of those unique places, just like a few other places in Orange County. But you're right. I think the one thing I always thought about, and I think you guys may have had the vision as long, long time ago, is Warwick kind of grew out of that. It had all those small businesses had to figure out, how do we get people here?
Yeah.
Right. And then once they figured that the apple orchards and the and later on the wineries were such a draw, that helped all those other businesses grow.
Sure.
You know, and those are the neat things that, you know, people, I think most people that live here, they have an appreciation for that.
Yeah.
And we're lucky to still have it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're I think we're here to stay, you know. I think Warwick is now built somewhat to deal with the future.
It's stable. I think it's certainly stabilized the economics of this town. Very much so. Even during that downturn, as difficult it was for everybody, and not only just small businesses, but obviously everybody felt the pain of the post 9/11. Little depression that we all went through there.
Sure.
But I think the days are looking better
as we approach another anniversary of it. You know.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. The same release. But listen, I just want to take the time here and say thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show, and. Steve and Jill and Steve and Tori, great community citizens for Warwick and the Pennings family in general. And thanks for being such a good friend.
Well, no problem. Just I want everybody to remember, you know, it's not just an apple a day that keeps the doctor away anymore. It's like two or three. So while we're in high season of apples, please think all the orchards here in Warwick and anywhere you live in, go support them and go apple picking, or go to the stands and buy fresh apples, because that keeps you healthy. That's one less bill you got to pay if you don't have to go to the doctor.
God. I think we're going to end on that high note right there, Steve. Again, this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. Please join us every week on Tuesday from 10 to 11, and we'll see you next week.